Convene the meeting of the Story County Commissioners. Move along here to item number 17. Discussion, the restoration of the official map of Gold Hill, Nevada. Jen, take her away.
For the record, Jen Chapman. I just had a little quick point to show everybody about a project that I'm so proud to be a part of, and it's the restoration of the historic map that we had in the three quarters on the street that been made. So, you know, thinking back to what Shannon said about anything worth doing is worth doing right, and in this case, it applies to items that are of actual value that we have here in the courthouse. This is basically talks about the initial map of Gold Hill. Basically, this project, we started taking care of it, and restoration and conservation. Restoration and conservation was done by Karen Zucker. We are going to be the ones that will continue the preservation efforts. So, pardon me, I'm just going to go through it real quick. Looking around, I know everybody already knows their history, but I just need to take a minute. It makes me feel better to talk about it again. Gold Hill played a prominent part in the history of the Comstock, most successful in 1859, the acquired prospecting at Gold Canyon. A lot of the first structures were boarding houses, Williams Mills, Myers Cabin. In 1860, the population was probably close to 1,300, not very much. This map was done around about 1864, it was surveyed. So it kind of reflects that population, but certainly by the mid 1870s, the population reached almost 8,000. So there was significant growth in that little area. These are just a couple of, you know, great pictures of the area, you know, down here with that gate, you've got Fort Homestead. You know, you've got the Myers Museum Hall, I'm saying that the history of this little area is worth preserving, which is why we, you know, decided to undertake the project of this magnitude. The surveyor, you can see John Ostrom, and this is a little picture of Gold Hill in 1875, and this was the ordinance that was passed, ordinance number 16, which basically said that they would be mapping Gold Hill. John Ostrom was the surveyor. This is the map before, and you know, you can kind of get a pretty good idea of the state of it. It's literally shattered. At this point, even though the last time that this map had been enrolled was probably over 10 years ago, it was hardly used at all due to the nature of its state. It was in several pieces, and even not being touched with the environment that we have here, yeah, it does nothing for this. So we knew we needed to do something. Otherwise, this history would be lost. The biggest question at that point was, what do we do? Do we restore it? Do we preserve it? Or do we conserve it? So the restoration focuses on, you know, removing the damage and trying to bring it back to the original state as much as possible. Conservation attempts to remove the damages upon scarce stains, soiling, etc. In conservation, my knowledge is that the object will never be returned to its original appearance. It's aimed at the stabilization of the object physically and chemically to ensure survival for following decades. And conservation is about finding the best long-term care storage so that, you know, deterioration is minimized. We chose conservation. We want to, you know, ensure historical integrity, which is why when you see the finished product, you'll see some missing pieces. It's not up to us to replace those if we find them. We can take appropriate measures to place them back on the map. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's keeping intact the integrity of this original map. So we chose Karen Zuber for a conservator. She is a renowned paper conservator in the Bay Area. She's got a lot of history here. She took a year off of, or a winter off of her professional training and work, and she spent a winter in Story County, Nevada. In the middle of a bad one, so she has some great stories. But she's done some restoration work on the posters at Hyde Park House, and she's a leader in her field. And she's got over 30 years experience. She's fellow of the American Institute for Conservation, and she works on both public and private collections. So in addition, she also teaches. Great person. Of course, the process with this started with testing, seeing what's really wrong, what needs to be addressed, what are the options. Basically, once they took the pictures, did their testing, the process of treating this map, the basic surface cleaning, we had to remove all the hinges, the tapes, and adhesives, neutralize the acid, so you can arrest it, you can't fix it, but you can arrest it. Consolidation, fixing and facing, bending, blasting, and pumping and mining. So it was a huge process. This took over a year. From start to finish, this took a long time. This is during the process. You can see some of the water damage. You can see, obviously, the tears, the breakages, the loss, and you know what would be pieces that needed to be repaired. And here you can see everything, the tape is removed. It's actually mounted on a special fabric. It's a silk crepe one. I'm sure it's a specialized fabric, and it is perfect for something like this, which is so fragile. This map is made from architectural linen, which means that you can't treat it the way you can treat it on paper. If you add any sort of water or moisture whatsoever, it just will dissolve, literally, into a fabric that's like silk. So backing it with the special silk one, I'm using basically a non-obvious method of adhesive. We were able to stabilize it, which then allowed us to get framed in a museum or hide in frame. It's a whole frame. And now it's sitting back in our office. And it's going to be, saved for the next 700 years. We chose not to replace a lot of those because I think it's also significant that it's a reminder to us that if we don't take action to save the things that we have, we lose them. Doing something like this, who knows what could happen in 20, 30 years, but now it's here. And I don't think people move off that often, but it was hard to get it up there. So I
just encourage anybody who's has any interest to stop by and come to look at it. So that's
about it. Any questions?
Now there's
that part.
Thank you, Jim. That's great. Yeah. That along with the courthouse, preservation is what, that's what we have. That's what we have to offer. Okay, so we'll move along to item 18. Unless anybody had anything on the map. Okay. This will be Sherry. Approval and acceptance of the 2014 Community Development Block Grant. Award of the amount of $25,000 for kitchen and transportation improvements at the Story County Senior Center in Virginia City, and authorization for Sherry Nevin and/or Desi Redmond to sign all associated grant documentation.
Sherry Nevin, for the record, this is a pretty straightforward agenda item here. We come to you today to seek approval and acceptance of the 2014 Community Development Block Grant that has been awarded to Story County in the amount of $25,000 for kitchen and transportation improvements at the Story County Senior Center here in Virginia City. The grant award and associated documents are part of your agenda package for today's meeting. This grant will pay to replace the aging refrigerator at a cost of approximately $5,000, two stoves for approximately $5,000, and the countertops in the kitchen for roughly $7,000. The remainder of these monies will be used for repairs and maintenance of the senior center van, tires, annual repair, etc. Additionally, we are seeking authorization for myself and or Desi Redmond to sign all associated CDBG grant documentation for this project, which just would be financial reports and the like. With your approval today of this item, we look to begin this project, and it shouldn't take very long to have this done. We have until, I believe, June 30th of next year for project completion.
Very good. Any discussion on this? Well, once again, Sherry's gone all out. I mean, she's...
The table was here was going to make a motion to deny.
Sherry's always out there finding monies to...
Okay, so the motion is to approve the 2014 Community Development Block Grant, award in the amount of $25,000 for kitchen and transportation improvements at the Story County Senior Center in Virginia City, and authorization for Sherry Nevin and or Desi Redmond to sign all the associated grant documentation.
I'll second that motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye.
Motion carries.
Perfect. Wow. One quick thing on this particular grant project. I'm attending a application workshop. It's an annual event in Fallon this Thursday. There is a push to allocate these funds for economic development. So what we've seen, small projects like this going to things like our senior center and planning for stormwater improvements, money to Canyon GID for their new plants, that could be going away. They're focusing more on economic development, job creation, so we're going to kind of have to roll with that and see where it takes us. In Virginia City here, we do not qualify for this program anymore for things that aren't specific to, for instance, seniors, because they're a limited clientele population. So we're going to have to get creative with what we do with this program going forward. So
great stuff. People have to build those refrigerators and stoves, don't
they? Yeah. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds, but just FYI for the future of this.
That's great. Great job, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry.
And amazing. I mean, the timing couldn't be better. The assessor just happened to show up, and we're coming up on the renewal of this interlocal agreement. Is that something? Item 19, renewal of interlocal agreement for GIS services between Douglas County and Story County in the amount of $55,000.
I can probably, Jenna is here if there's any specific questions that need to be answered. This is a renewal. I want to remind the commission, for years we attempted to do our own GIS services internally, and it cost us much more than the $55,000, and we got much less in terms of quality product. I would honestly say this is the true value of being a regional player. Douglas County, I believe, provides GIS services, Jenna, for Carson, themselves, of course, us, and to some degree, but maybe more limited, Lyon County, and I would speculate others. They are phenomenal to work with. When we do have issues, we are able to sit down with the director of the department, Eric Schmidt, and work our way through those. It is a process. Jana's been side by side with me and taking lead on this actually for, I believe, at least 3 years now, if not four. $55,000 is a continuation of the same amounts that we've been paying in the past. And I specifically thank Jana, because she reaches into her own tech fund and pays the lion's share of this each year. We do make effort to charge our other departments that regularly use it, and that specifically is planning and hopefully water and sewer, although we may have a small budgeting issue there we'll work out this year. But as they use these, we want them to help limit some of the amount that Jana does, but she's a great team player on this and everything else, and I thank her. And Jana, if I missed anything, you're welcome to.
Jana Seddon, Story County Assessor. I also just want to mention that GIS plays a huge part in developing our pictometry, which is our aerial photography, working directly with them, and we have extended this to all the other departments, and we're working with Eric, our GIS guy, and pictometry to try to bring in information that is pertinent to each individual office. I may house most of the information, however, I really don't know what each individual office really uses, what they do, how they need it. We're working with GIS and our pictometry to customize for each individual office. It is a work in progress. It's going to take some time. I also know that even the Sheriff's Department, when they call and they need specific things, we have a really pretty good turnaround time with our GIS department getting maps and stuff out. And like Pat said, what we're paying and what we're getting, I think, is a huge benefit to this county.
I totally spaced the pictometry part. That's another that Jana funds, and if you can imagine that the pace of things are going on, particularly out in the industrial park now, that once every 2 years, every year, flyover of certain areas, updating our pictures, I would tell you the quality and the detail of information that you see in a lot of documents as they're presented to you, be it Austin and Desi's staff reports or many of these other things where there are parcel maps provided by the assessor, and then on top of that there are great pictorial overheads with a lot of information. That again is the quality of the stuff that Jana helps generate through funding of both the pictometry and the GIS program. So this is in the budget for the current year, although there may be a slight issue with the water and sewer that we can mitigate by charging professional services and administrative if we failed to budget that.
Has this been the ongoing amount we've been paying?
Yes, it's never deviated in the either 3 or 4 years we've had
okay.
this.
In the past, was it the year-to-year agreement?
Year-to-year, yes.
Okay, now we're going for a 5-year contract.
And we can opt out at any
time.
I see
that. So. We can opt out.
It's kind of lost to say that price nowadays we can opt out.
Pretty good. Any discussion?
Okay. Motion to renew the interlocal agreement for GIS services between Douglas and Story Counties for $55,000.
I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve the interlocal agreement between Douglas and Story Counties. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, going to move along to item number 20. Mr. Gallagher. Approval of Resolution 14-407 to provide medium-term financing in order to purchase up to 9 vehicles, not to exceed $300,000.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hugh Gallagher, Comptroller, for the record. This is kind of an avenue that we have used in the past in order to purchase vehicles. Sometimes it's necessary for us to do this. In this particular case, we have an inordinate amount of vehicles that have been requested to be purchased, and it gives us an opportunity to, number one, see what deals can be out there, see what financing opportunities are out there. This is an avenue that says, you know, if we've got all of these things come together, we will probably not spend more than $300,000 through midterm financing, which has to be gone through, which needs to be go through the Department of Taxation, and then on to a lender. Not necessarily
we will spend all of it, nor may we spend any of it. It's just an opportunity for me to get the ball rolling before taxation, to get it approved, to see what deals may be out there. Those vehicles that are requested, number one, we have fire patrol vehicles for the sheriff, and then with those purchases, we have two for the commissioners, and this is due to the fact that there's two vehicles right now that are simply unsafe. As Clerk Treasurer Vanessa and I experienced on a road leading into Ely, if you're going down at a certain rate of speed and hit the brakes as you're going right, you could go right off the end. And in some of those places, you would probably starve before you hit the bottom. We have one for our billing inspector, or our billing department head, Dean Haymar, who's consistent travels out in the industrial park, has put an undue maintenance burden on his vehicle, and consequently, a new one would be a replacement for his. And our assessor, Janice Sneddon, also needs one, not only for the rocky roads of the highlands and wherever, but also in inclement weather when she's out on those roads trying to survey property. In each of these instances, those replacement vehicles will either be turned in for a trade-in value or will be given to other sources within the county who need vehicles. One comes to mind, which is our IT director, James Dean, whose vehicle is, I would classify as being probably twice as bad as the trade-in that our district attorney had. And that vehicle was should have been probably shot. But again, in each of these cases, will those vehicles that are left will either be traded in or found a significant value, and if none of that can happen, then it'll probably go to auction. So I would appreciate an approval on Resolution 14.407 for the midterm financing from the general fund for nine vehicles not to exceed $300,000.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, if I might just reemphasize one thing Mr. Gallagher said. This is a mechanism that allows us to go out and shop, and should we find a good deal, we can then proceed. However, in many cases, for instance, the sheriff and I and Mr. Gallagher have had extended discussions. This is an optional path. We also included, at least in the sheriff's budget, and I believe in the assessor's budget as well, enough in this year's budget to facilitate purchases of the five vehicles in the case of sheriff and one for the assessor and possibly one in building. I don't recall whether we did or not. I had not anticipated trading in our two until I offered my particular car up to multiple folks and they came back and said they'll never drive it again. It is a rather heart-stopping experience, but it's a factory defect that cannot be repaired. We do have a couple of requirements that are do not apply to the sheriff's vehicles, but apply to the other four, and that is over the years we've kind of developed to a point or morphed to a point where all cars have to be white. So in some cases we've got to order them from the factory. I think only one might be available right now for the assessor in the current model year. And all cars, period, have to be American-made. So we may be paying cash for these, as Hugh said, in part or in total. We're just looking at the options. One of the options might be USDA funding, which typically comes in very, very low interest subsidized.
Any discussion on this? Commissioner Shavagan?
Because you've got a sheriff test.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sheriff. I'm used to people yelling at me from the audience.
I just want to make clear what county manager said, is that this is just an option that we're looking at, because as was indicated in my budget, the monies were allocated this year for the purchase of the 5 vehicles. That budgeting included the purchase and setup of the vehicle to make it operational, and don't want to get locked into something that's going to prevent that. I spoke with the Chevy dealership yesterday, which is what we're looking at, and they are now done with 14 production, 15 production, 2015 production will not start till the middle of September, so we're looking at still several months down the road. And I personal level, when it comes to the sheriff's office, I don't know if it's a wise decision to enter into something that has potentially financing charges, interest rate, low though it may be, if we can do it cheaper with the dollars that we're dealing with. So.
Thank you. And going along with this, in my conversations with county managers, as he brought up, these items that have been budgeted, the money's in. If the thing is, I think we're kind of holding off to make sure that there were going to be adequate funds after we end the negotiations with OE3, to make sure that nothing gets thrown out of whack. So this is just an option for the county should things get upside down on that side.
Comment again on that?
Yeah.
This is going a little bit awry from the vehicle issue in the first place, but what you just said is what my concern has been since we started these conversations. During the budgeting process, it was stated that that contract with the Deputy Association has not been completed, and I believe that the county manager even offered in the caveat that my budget may be needing to be augmented depending on the outcome of that contract. Now, I just want clarification. Augmenting doesn't mean taking it out of other monies that are allocated in my budget and giving it to the employees, correct?
Correct.
Okay, because that's what you just said scares me.
No, the avenue is whether we have to go to financing or not financing. The intention is not to go to financing on the automobiles that have already been allocated through budget. The commissioner's automobiles have not been. I directed the county manager to look at replacing the commissioner's vehicles, because it's been brought to my attention that they are a safety hazard, and I don't think it'd be prudent to go ahead and have staff driving vehicles that could potentially be in a wreck, because there is factory defects on those vehicles that are unrepairable, and the dealer and General Motors is not willing to do anything about it. So the best case scenario is to get rid of those cars, because I don't want anybody who's driving these vehicles to be in any danger.
And I understand those concerns. I'm just concerned with my budget.
Right. So these things aren't budgeted. So we're just putting together. So we don't have to come back and do this again. We're going to make the amount large enough so that if we do have to encompass all of the vehicles, there's enough money there, so we don't have to come back and reinvent the wheel by doing another another resolution to do this.
Mr. Chairman, the fact that these are all GM products, with the exception of maybe the county assessors, makes it even more prudent for us to take a look and see if maybe there's something down there that we can take a look at. And if so, great. If not, then we have not burned an option that we would have not normally had.
I might add too, we're striving, and I think the sheriff's vehicles are somewhat of the wild card on this one, because it's a matter of who is eligible to participate in the state purchasing program and who is not at this point. But we are processing all cars through the state purchasing contracts, and wherever we can, that's practical based on both price and everything, trying to use local dealers in either Reno or Carson City. Jenna, was yours Carson? Okay. In this case, we're trying to use dealers in Carson City to shop local.
comment is, if you see any of these come up for public auction, be very afraid.
Well, you know.
Run away.
You know, though, Commissioner Schwing, and all the cars, I mean, we're going to repurpose the RAB. The RAB will go to somewhere. And many of the sheriff's vehicles, after the shop gets a chance to take a look at them and run them through, will be fine. The only two would be the two white GMC Envoys right now, and those are, you know, odds are those will wind up going back to the same dealership that sold us those several years ago.
Okay, well, my motion then is to approve resolution 14407 to provide medium-term financing for the purchase of up to 9 vehicles not to exceed $300,000.
I'll second that motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution 14-407. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. On to item number 21, discussion, possible action. Approval of payroll check and accounts payables.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, one sure way of making sure Commissioner Gilman will not make a meeting is to schedule claims in this fashion. It's been properly questioned before as to whether or not Chairman McBride can or cannot vote on a Bucket of Blood Saloon check that is in reimbursement for or payment under a contract that was executed prior to this current commission. And usually what we do is we place this outside the consent agenda once a quarter so that it can be voted on and so that Commissioner McBride can abstain. Similar to what we did last time, Commissioner Gilman is not here, obviously. So staff's recommendation now is to approve the claims as submitted, exclusive of check number 79513, the Bucket of Blood Saloon, for the parking lot leasing, the amount of $4,500 for the quarter, and we will bring that back at a future meeting when Commissioner Gilman is present.
Okay, so my motion then would be to approve the payroll checks with the exception of the one that Pat just mentioned.
Correct.
Yeah, the payroll and the payables, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Chauvin.
Any discussion on this? You have a motion? I'll second it. It's been moved and seconded to approve all claims excluding check to the Bucket of Blood. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Aye. Motion carries. There we go. Okay. Community development and planning discussion, possible action.
This,
Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Ms. Ripley.
This should be pretty simple. For this item here, number 22, this is for Comstock Mining's request to amend their special use permit number 2022-A3. We're recommending at this time that we continue the item and that we continue it until September 2nd, 2014 at this location. There is still pending action of the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Motion to continue then.
Okay. Any discussion on this for the audience?
Okay, we need to be real specific about when are we continuing it to?
To what date do you want to continue?
It would be the September 2nd September County Commission. 2nd.
Okay, motion to continue to September 2nd this year.
And it'll be heard here at the courthouse at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a motion. I'll second that. It's been moved to second to continue this item to September the 2nd, 10 a.m., right here in this room. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, here we go. Number item 23, discussion and possible action. This is a variance 4014-006 by Joyce Kiebaum or Quam at the property located at 109 South C Street, Virginia City. This is Joe Curtis's old building, commonly known now as the Comstock Corner Cafe. So, Ms. Redmond.
Thank you, Chairman. Staff is also requesting that this item be continued to the August 19th meeting at 10 a.m. here in the courthouse. The applicant had something come up. They couldn't make it today, unfortunately, last minute, so they want to be here when the file's heard.
Okay. Any discussion? Motion to continue until August
19th.
August the 19th. 10 a.m.
Motion.
Right here in this room.
Right here in this room. Motion to continue to August 19th, 10 o'clock a.m. right here.
Second your motion. Remove your second. Continue this variance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
All righty. Item number 24, possible action, licensing board, second readings.
Mr. Chairman, on behalf of Austin, who would have been speaking on behalf of Dean, we recommend approval of A, B, and C, all three licenses listed on your agenda, Wise Solutions, Murphy Built Construction, Netronics Integration, Inc.
Good deal. Any discussion on this?
Yeah. Motion to approve... licenses A, B, and C.
I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Very good. Let's move right along to public comment. Jack's not here.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Jack McGuffey was called away and couldn't stay. He asked me to read the following public comment into the record. This would be pertaining to the area we're going to open up when the four houses are moved immediately to our south that Mike referenced earlier. And Mr. McGuffey's public comment for the record is, though a central C Street location would be preferred, could a restroom be beneficial in the new parking lot as water and sewer is readily available? Jack McGuffey, August 5, 2014.
Okay. Thank you. Public comment? Mr. Phillips.
Thank you.
Come on down.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mark Joseph Phillips speaking to item number 26, public comment. Two concerns here. At your last meeting, the Board of County Commissioners approved the area zoning map, Goldwell area zoning map amendment, in which case the Goldwell area zoning map that resides in the recorder's office would have been amended and put back in the recorder's office. And in written request for public record, I found out that map is not available in the recorder's office or the clerk's office. So a month later after the amendment, it seems like a long time. And right now, there's no evidence that there has been a zoning amendment in Gold Hill, which is tied into the special use permit coming up. So I think it would be prudent to have the amended map back in the recorder's office before you take action. Well, there's plenty of time here until September 2nd when you take action on the special use permit. And in regards to discussion we've had about water and sewer bills and being excessive, it came up that it was a senior discount, but a friend of mine who's a senior got the application for the discount, and it's only good for the water. There is no senior discount on the sewer bill side of the bills. So maybe a new ordinance would be in order, giving seniors a discount for the sewer portion of the bills. And real quick, in regards to the petition to put the ballot question, shall Story County have five commissioners? Our petition was insufficient. And I would like to thank Attorney Maddox for a five-page letter, which turns out it's a step-by-step process for success next time we try. So there was feelings in the community that maybe the public should be able to vote on it, but maybe now is not the time. So we'll try again in 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Osborne or Ms. Redmond can address the availability and the recording of the map, if you like. I think that would be appropriate.
Okay. Come on up, Austin.
The government works awfully slow sometimes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just be very brief in this. Mr. Phillips claims that the maps aren't done. They're not. The zone change is complete. It is finalized. It is official. So those parcels are, in fact, now Zone Special Planning Review, SPR. The map that reflects those is currently in the process. Our GIS department with Eric Schmidt in Douglas County has to get our data, and then he has to convert that data over to GIS and then print that map. And then I'll be bringing that map to this board for chairman's signature, and it'll become the official map. So we are in that process. It just takes a little bit of time to get that done. But we've expedited that map as fast as we can, and we expect it in a couple weeks to be all ready to go.
And he probably won't do it until he gets his $55,000 check.
This is an amended map. It's not a new map. It's supposed to be the map that was there 2 years ago, amended and put back.
It will be. It'll be a new map. It'll show the new coloring, and it'll be all signed, and it'll be the official map. And technically, every map that's ever created is amended. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Anyone else have any public comment? Okay, this meeting is adjourned.